I want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And this morning, this particular verse of Scripture is one you may have heard quoted to you quite accurately, but it's not always been the best of timing. There are good-meaning people that sometimes when you're going through a real tough time, and I will say this to everybody in this building, you are going to go through some tough times in life. And there's some real good-meaning people that are going to come to you and say, now, my brother, my sister, you know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. How many of you have ever heard that? Somebody's told you, you've just lost a job, or you've just lost a girlfriend, or you've just lost a boyfriend, or you lost your wallet, or you lost some of your mind, or you lost a ball game, or you lost the ball, and somebody comes to you and says, well, now you know, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. They might even misquote the verse and just say, all things work together for good. Well, some things in this verse that we need to understand this morning. One is that the proper translation is that God works all things together for good. Now, guys, I'm not going to ignore you all this morning. You're right here in the middle, and I'm going to speak to you, okay? And I'm not going to ignore you all, even though you ignore me all the time when I try to speak to you. But I have a word that I want to share with you this morning that's very, very important. And the title of the sermon is, It's Too Soon to Tell. Because there are times the events and things happen in our life, and sometimes they're good things. And we say, oh, that's wonderful. That's the best thing I could ever imagine. Never have better news than that. And then there are bad things, and we say, this is the worst thing could ever possibly happen. I'll never have it worse than I'm having it right now. And my message to you this morning, I think really from the Lord, from God's Word, is this. When you go through hard times or when you go through good times, when everything's up or when everything is down, God is at work. God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And if you don't memorize any other verse in the Word of God, you may say, well, I know John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but ever. I know that one. And I know that there were times when I was a kid growing up and we'd have, at church on Sunday night, we'd have kids stand up and quote verses in the Bible. Sometimes if you're really in a tight spot, you can get by with standing up and quoting the shortest verse in the Bible. It's found in John chapter 11 where the Bible says Jesus wept. That's a whole verse. That might get you a passing grade. I don't know. But here's a passage of Scripture that every one of us need to bring into our hearts and understand. That God works all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose. And more than that, it says in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow. You want to be here with us next Sunday morning because we're going to talk about God's unbreakable chain. If you're just visiting with us today, you probably need to know that we're moving through the book of Romans and we're moving very slowly. And we're trying to take these principles from God's Word into our heart and get a word from the Lord. But He says in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also glorified, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. So you take these three verses of Scripture and you put them together, and I'll tell you, it's one of the most powerful, life-changing passages of Scripture that there is. God has a plan for my life. Things don't happen by accident. God is in charge of this world. And when we're going through the toughest of times, and our family and our loved ones are going through the toughest of times, and we don't see a way out, God is at work behind the scenes. And what He's doing is He's working in our lives to bring glory to his name. So I know that people don't remember outlines and sermons, but they do remember stories. Here's one for you. There was once an old Chinese man who owned a beautiful stallion. It was the only horse he had, and one day the horse broke out and ran away. And his neighbor learned about it and said, "That's a terrible thing to happen. I'm sorry for you." And the old man said, "I don't know about that. It may be too soon to tell." 3 days later, the stallion came back with a dozen wild horses following him. And he led them all right into the corral. When the neighbor learned of it, he said to the old man, "That's wonderful. Whereas you had one horse, now you've got 13. And the old gentleman replied again, "I don't know about that. It's too soon to tell." The next day, his son, trying to break one of the wild horses, was thrown to the ground and broke his leg. And the neighbor, learning of this, said to the old man, "That's a terrible misfortune. Your son will be laid up for weeks." Once more, the old man said, "I don't know about that. It's too soon to tell." The next day, a Chinese warlord came through the country and conscripted for his army every able-bodied man in the village except this one boy with a broken leg. There are lots of events in the course of our life that fall into the too soon to tell category. We cannot judge the outcome of our life by any single event. Throughout the pages of God's Word, there are men that understood that, came to understand it, because they lived it. Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. Being the favorite son, having 11 brothers, he had 11 brothers that didn't like him because he had a coat of many colors. And so one day, while his brothers are keeping the sheep and he's staying close to daddy, his daddy sends him out to check on, see how they're doing. They see him coming, and they said, "Here he comes. He's daddy's boy. He's the favorite." So they said, "Let's kill him." But there was a pit there, and they didn't kill him. They put him down in the pit. They took his garment, his coat of many colors. They killed a goat. They poured blood all over it, sent that back to the dad eventually. Then they saw a group from a caravan going down to Egypt, and they said, "Well, we're not going to kill him. We're just going to sell him into slavery." So they sold him as a slave, and off he went to Egypt. Bad news, a bad thing. He gets into Egypt. He's sold to Potiphar. He gains respect in Potiphar's house and still Potiphar's wife, and one day she looks at him, and she thinks, "I think I'd like to have him for my own." And then he winds up in prison. And then he's forgotten about in prison. If you could trace Joseph's life, it's bad deal, bad deal, bad deal, bad deal. Can't this boy ever get a break? And then one day, God remembers him. And he reaches down, he pulls him up out of that jail, and he puts him at the right hand of the Pharaoh, and he is the second highest ruler in the land. And there will come a time in Joseph's life when he will look in the face of his brothers that betrayed him and said, "What you meant for evil, God meant for good." All those struggles I knew in my life is too soon to tell. Moses was pulled out of the bulrushes, put there in a basket by his mother, pulled out by the daughter of Pharaoh, is raised for 40 years in Pharaoh's house as a child of prosperity. And he would have said, "This is the best thing anybody could ever know. I'm living here. I got a silver spoon in my mouth and everything is good." Until one day he remembers that he's a Hebrew. And he sees a slave master mistreating a slave, a Hebrew slave, and he kills him, hides his body. But the end result is he winds up running for his life, and he finds himself way out there in the backside of the desert of Midian. So he's got 40 years of prosperity, now 40 years of adversity, out there with the scorpions and the cobras and all the snakes. And you just said, "This is a waste." Here's a man who's had the best of education. He's a proven leader. Now he's on the backside of the desert, and nobody even knows where he is, but God knows where he is. So God takes this man that thinks he's forgotten, he's gone, his life is wasting away, he's never going to be anything. And after 40 years of prosperity, now 40 years of adversity, God pulls him out and says, you're going to be my man to go stand before Pharaoh and say, let my people go. God does things like that. The Apostle Paul thought his life was on one trajectory, only to discover that God had a different plan for him. He had been out there trying to promote Judaism and spread it, and even to the point of taking the lives of Christians. So he's on his road to Damascus when suddenly there's a bright light around him, and suddenly there's a voice that calls out to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who art thou, Lord? God says, I've got a plan for you, Saul. I'm just saying that throughout the pages of God's Word, there are men that go through hard times, difficult times, just like some of you all are here today. You have the best days of your life, and then sometimes you have what seems to be the worst days of your life, but I'm here to tell you this morning that God has an overarching plan for all of your life. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but it's too soon to tell. Now, let me just lay three very simple things before you. Number one, God has an ultimate purpose. When I read this passage, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love God, to them are the called according to his purpose. Now, here's the thing. God has an ultimate purpose. And it's not that all things work together. All things don't fall together as an accident. It is that God works all things together. It's all about God. It's his plan. He's in control. Whenever I get ready to perform a wedding, and I don't know how many weddings I've done through the years. I don't know how many weddings I've done in this building, but I've done a bunch of them. And so we have a wedding rehearsal. That's something you have to have. You don't have to have a wedding rehearsal to have a wedding. All you really need is a bride and groom and a license to have a wedding, but if you have a rehearsal, if you're going to have a big wedding, you got to have a rehearsal. And I always start at the end of the ceremony. Now you say, preacher, why do you start at the end of the ceremony? That doesn't make sense. It's because this, if you know where you're going to stand after you've come down the aisle, then the chances are that you're going to get there. You're going to get in the right spot. So we've set everybody down and we'll pray as we begin a rehearsal. And then I will say, I need a groom. So, here comes a groom. For want of a better name, we're going to call him Goober this morning. So here comes Goober, and I'll stand him right there. And he's just a piece of the furniture. Because you know what? On a wedding day, all eyes are not on Goober. All eyes are on the bride. That's how it works. And I will tell you, on a wedding day, I have never seen an ugly bride. Never seen an ugly bride on a wedding day. I've seen some that came awful close, but I've never seen an ugly bride on a wedding day. So here you are, and you've got Goober, and then maybe you've got Jethreen or something, but here she comes, and I'll say, I need a bride and a groom. So I've got a groom, and I've got a bride. And then the poor old father of the bride, he's just paying out the money. When I was in Romania a few years ago at a wedding, I was over there to preach, and they had a wedding while I was there, and they said, okay, you're going to preach the wedding. Well, there were three of us that preached the wedding. Be glad you just go to weddings in the United States. Three of us preached that day with a whole lot of music on top of it. But in the middle of it, they took up an offering. I never saw an offering taken at a wedding. If they do, it should be given to the father of the bride. But I thought this is the neatest thing in the world because they took an offering to give to the bride and groom. Doesn't that make all kinds of sense? And so when they come to the father, they're passing the plates. The father just turned his pockets inside out because he had given all that he had to give. There was no more to give. So the father of the bride stands here, and he has always got an anxious look on his face. And no wonder, because he's about ready to give his daughter to Goober. And so it's kind of a tense place. But if they're going to get in the right spot in a wedding ceremony, you start with where they're going to stop at the front so that they're going to come. They're going to be. Now, when it comes to our life and our walk with the Lord, if we're going to get the right spot, God has a plan for us. What is his plan? His purpose is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. His purpose is to make us like Jesus. And so what is the end point is that God's ultimate purpose We know that all things, God works all things together for good to those that love Him. All things are not good. When you got to, when Betty is making cookies, and she makes some dynamite chocolate chip cookies, I can speak from experience that every ingredient that goes into a batch of cookies, you don't want to put it on your in your mouth. You don't want to put a handful of flour in your mouth. It's not like confectionery sugar, powdered sugar. But chocolate chips, oh, they taste good. Brown sugar, that tastes good. But I'm just saying, whether you're baking a cake, whether you're making cookies, whatever it might be, it doesn't always, all parts of it taste good. But when the master chef begins to put it together, they work all things together for good. Now, here's what the Bible does not say. The Bible does not say all things work together for your prosperity. It doesn't say that all things work together for your health. I've heard some folks say that if you're walking with God, you're never going to be broke. Well, there have been times in my life I must not have been walking with God because I was broke. The Bible does not say that when you're walking with God, you're always going to be healthy. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that all things work together for good for the popularity or for the fame or fortune or for the worldly fame. It doesn't even say that God works all things together for a winning football season. But what it does say is that God works all things together for good. And what is His purpose in your life, in our lives, in my life? It is that I be conformed to the image of His Son. That's His purpose. Now here's the second thing, and that's God's unrelenting process. It can be a grind. God works all things together for good. So God uses all the good things that come in our life, and thank God there are good things. There are good days. God has blessed us. Maybe you've been blessed with a Christian family. That's a good thing. Or with a good church. That's a good thing. Maybe you've been blessed with good Bible teaching all of your life. Well, that's a good thing. Maybe you've had excellent teachers along the way. That's a good thing. Maybe your education. Maybe there was somebody that discipled you, somebody that mentored you. Maybe you've had good experiences in life. You look at your life and you say, God has blessed me with all of these good things that have come my way. Well, I'll tell you, every good thing, everything that God uses in your life is not standalone by itself good. He also blesses you through disappointments and discouragements and failures and frustrations. Do you know God can even take your disobedience and turn it to your blessing long term? Somebody says, how in the world can that happen? You ever had a little kid in your house, and you've got a stove that is hot or a pan that is hot, and you say, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. Inevitably, what are they going to do? Yeah, you all are the same way. We all are the same way. And so you touch it, but this is what you do. Even though it's a bad experience, you learn something. So God is in the process of taking it all, putting it together, so that you might learn something along the way. See, when I went off to college, I had had good grades in high school, and I just thought, well, college is going to be easy. It's not going to be a struggle. And I wanted to be a veterinarian. That's what I thought God wanted me to do with my life, and that was I was going to be a veterinarian. And then I took chemistry, and I failed it. Now, I look back on that. And me failing chemistry is not the professor's fault. It wasn't classmates' fault. It wasn't God's fault. And I failed it, and I took it again, and I failed it again. Now, I look back. Do I worry today about failing chemistry? Nope. Do I think every day, oh, well, you're a failure, you failed chemistry? Nope. I never liked chemistry. So I don't worry about it. And all these formulas and stuff, they make no sense to me. So I don't worry about all that. But I know if I was going to be a veterinarian, I had to pass chemistry. So the third time I took it, I made sure I sat by somebody that was good. And I passed chemistry the third time around. And I look back at all of that stuff and all the struggles that I had just getting through college, and it was not easy for me to get through college, and I'm thinking, God had a plan for me. For my sophomore year at the University of Kentucky, I was going to come face to face with Jesus Christ, and God did not want me to be a chemist, and God didn't want me to be a veterinarian. God had another plan for my life. I would tell you that the successes and the failures, the good days and the bad days, the disappointments, all of those things, God works them all together for good. And we can moan and groan about it, but He's got a plan for our life. T.T. Martin was an old preacher from Mississippi. He's been dead many years. But he wrote a book, God's Way with Men. And in that book, he talked about how God develops character in the redeemed. And this is what he said. He said, a boy was born with a badly deformed foot. When he was 8 years of age, his father had two surgeons to operate and try to straighten this boy's foot, but it didn't happen. They put it in a brace. He wore the brace for a long time, but the foot remained as badly deformed as ever. And the surgeons, after they'd done everything they thought they could do, they informed the father that the son's foot would never be straight. The father studied the deformed foot and didn't give up. And then he had this strange-looking box made. Now, you couldn't do this today. You couldn't get by with this today. But he had this strange-looking box made with screws and felt taps covering the screws and iron rods in different parts of it. He had surgeons to operate again on the boy's foot, cutting the muscle and tendons in different places. And they put the foot in this box. The boy was still attached to the foot. They put the foot in this box, and a screw was turned to the felt tap pressed against the foot one place, almost breaking the bone. Then another screw and felt tap were put to bring to bear pressure on another part of the deformed foot, straightening the foot and almost breaking the bone in that part of the foot. And then the iron rod was used to straighten another part. And for months, the boy had to wear this box. The suffering day and night for months was indescribable. The child would weep for hours, the pain being all but unbearable. And when the father would come home, the child would beg him to take the box off his foot. The father would weep. The father, mingling his tears with the tears of the suffering child, would turn the screws tighter than before, and the child would shriek in agony. During those weeks and months of suffering, he looked upon his father as being harsh and cruel and without love for him. But finally a day came when the father loosened all the screws and said, "Son, stand up." And for the first time in his life, the boy stood erect. T.T. Martin, years ago, wrote, "Often has that son, now a gray-haired man, stood over the grave of that father, long since dead, and wept over that grave with tears, and thank God that he had a father who was true enough to continue the suffering until the terrible deformity was corrected. The father may have turned the screws one thread too many, but the Father in heaven makes no mistakes, and far beyond the grave, many of the redeemed will praise him when they understand the sufferings and the afflictions and the burdens that they were led to endure. God does not waste anything on us, folks. The good things, the bad things, the easy things, the hard things, the days when you get the job, the days when you get fired, the days when you get raised, the days when you get demoted, the days when it looks like this girl is going to be the one, and then the days when the one that you thought was going to be the one is no longer the one. And so the old country song, "Thank God for unanswered prayer." Well, it's not an unanswered prayer. God answers all prayer. Just sometimes he says yes. That's the one we always want. But sometimes he says no. You're praying and God just doesn't do what you think he should do. And sometimes God says, "Not now, my child. You're going to have to wait a little while. This answer will come, but it's not going to be now." So sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. Sometimes it's wait a while. And somebody else has said, "God has another answer for prayer." Sometimes God hears our prayer and says, "You've got to be kidding me." But he has a plan in our life. There's the process, and there's a work in our life, a purpose, a process, and then his undeniable progress. I believe this because God is relentless. He will grow me with or without my cooperation. Like a craftsman with a hammer, he hammers away to make what he seeks to make. Like links in a chain, he applies this truth to us. For God works all things together for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Somebody said to make a wooden Indian, you just cut away everything that doesn't look like an Indian. To be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ, which is his ultimate purpose, he just cuts away from us everything that doesn't look like Jesus. God wants us to come out of this life resembling in a great way his Son. He wants you and me to be like Jesus. He wants us to be like Jesus in our attitudes, in our actions, the way we behave, the way we think. And you know, here I look at myself and I think I've been on this road a long time. And I'll tell you, some days I look at myself and I wonder, are you ever going to make any progress? Because when I ought to have a postgraduate degree, I belong back in kindergarten. And then the Lord will take you to a place where it's just like climbing a real tall hill. And you're seeing the top and you're trying to get to the top and it looks like you're not getting any closer to the top. And then one day, one time, you just stop and you look back and you discover, I've made some progress. If you're a child of God, and I would hope that everybody in this building today would know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't know that that's the case, but if you're a believer, if you know Jesus as your Savior, then there is a verse of Scripture, Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 6 says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise for every believer. You may not think you're making any progress, and you may even feel like God has forgotten you, where you are, or anything of that nature. But he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it on the day of Jesus Christ. It is a promise, and I'm very glad about that, because if not, I fail along the way so much. I don't have to live in the bondage of making every decision right. Because even when I stumble and fall, my Heavenly Father loves me so much, the plan is still in place. Over the long haul, God takes time and trouble. Time and trouble work in our lives. Two of the all things in our life. Time and trouble works together over a long stretch of time. If I just don't quit, God is going to fulfill his purpose in my life. It's his promise. When I look back, I see progress. And so years ago, they were building a big old cathedral somewhere over in Europe. It was almost completed, and there was one craftsman that was left there. He had a hammer, he had a chisel, he was working on one piece of stone. And it looked like this thing was about finished. Somebody asked him, said, what are you doing? What are you doing with this? And he said, if you look way up there toward the top, right up there close to the steeple, there's one little hole up there. He said, I am fashioning this down here so that it will fit up there. That's what God is doing in my life. God is fashioning me down here. I mean, it's down here. It's in this life. It's in the nitty-gritty of everyday life and all the struggles that we might face. God has a higher purpose for us. So he is hammering away with his hammer and his chisel to shape us down here so we're going to fit in when we get up there. I want to ask you to bow your head with me this morning. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Are you one of the called? Have you heard God call your name? You know, he knows our names. And when God speaks to us, it's very, very personal. For those of you in this building, you may be going through, some of you probably right now, somebody in this building this morning is going through the hardest time they've ever known in their life. You may have lost a job. You may have lost a spouse. You may have lost a child. You may just feel lost. God is working all things together for good. When the good times come, praise Him. When the rough times come, trust Him. But depend upon Him this morning. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today you can open your heart to the Lord Jesus, who loves you, who is calling you. And He's saying, come to Me. Well, you can open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And He will do that. He'll give you a brand new life. He'll give you a purpose for living, because all things work together for good in His plan. Don't give up on yourself. Don't despair of life. Don't give up on God. He is at work, and He's working all things. Father in heaven, we praise You for Your faithfulness. Thank You, Lord, that You're at work in our life. Even at times we don't think we're making any progress, we are making progress because You're seeing to it that we make progress. Thank You for Your faithfulness. And I pray, Father, for this group that's gathered here today, that we will understand that You are working all things together for our benefit, that we might bring glory and honor to Jesus, conform to His image. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.